Okay, so today we're going to Be'ez Hashem start the dining room archa, because I did get a few questions from people who have long finished going through every single thing they possibly can on archakos after we've been doing it for a month and wanted to know, like, what should we be doing? So the plan is, I think, the plan is going to be next week, I'm going to say sure on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Monday, I'm going to be in Florida for Eitan Ari's wedding, Be'ez Hashem. And Tuesday I'll be flying back from Florida. So Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we'll finish our chakos either Wednesday, and if not, then Thursday. Whenever we finish our chakos, that's when we start to break for Chazara. It's been a while since the last Bechina. And then the whole following week is going to be a Chazara week, because I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael, so it's a perfect time for a Chazara week, and we'll take the Bechina thereafter, I guess the Sunday after or something like that. We'll figure that out. But we'll take the Bechina thereafter, and then so we're not going to do Kuf Tzadi Vav before the Bechina. We're going to do Kuf Tzadi Hei. When was the last Bechina? What had we covered by the last Bechina? It was what? Kuf Pei Gimel, Kuf Tzadi, and what else?
Kuf Tzadi
Al. So okay, Kuf Tzadi Beis, Gimel, Gal, and Hei will be on this Bechina. So that's a lot of stuff to do. Good. Sound like a plan. All right, so that's the plan. But until then, we still have some work to do over here. So we have to do the dining room archakos and the bedroom archakos, right? We've gotten through the intimate interaction archakos, so now we have the dining room and the bedroom archakos. Oh, so my answer to the question of what should I do if I've done start chazara? I mean, chazara, all the shulchan shach chaz, biskei chuvos, beis yosef, shiurim, everything. Start chazara, kuf tzadi beis, kuf tzadi hei. All the Rabbi Sabalowski Q&A, everything. So so let's get started on the dining room archaka. So first of all, the very concept that there is a dining room archaka is very aligned with a lot of other areas of halacha. That Judaism believes very strongly that mealtime is a very potent time. That food is a way that that people connect. The Haraya, there's such a din called Bishul Akum and Pas Akum and Stam, and all of these things are Gzeira Mishum Chasnus. Why? I'm going to get married to the person just because they've cooked me a good meal? Yeah, apparently. I think that Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach said that when he was asked about the terrible, terrible rate of intermarriage in America in particular, where it's way over 50% of Jews marry outside of the faith. So Shlomo Zalman said we need to start being more machmir on Bishul Akum, meaning all these gezeiros that Chazal made mishum chasnus, we shouldn't be looking for kulas. We're always looking for kulas. We need to start being more machmir about these things. When you see the Chazal particularly targeted, we're always looking for, okay, at my office, how can I go out for drinks with is there like a way? Stop it! Just we need to look for chumras in these things. But it's not only over there. Like even by the halachos of Zimun, not to be started with the Nama Aretz and Zimun, or with someone who's not mamin in the Divrei Chazal, things like that, because it creates a certain sense of connectedness. Basa b'chalav, of having a hacker when one person is eating basa, the other person is eating chalav. We have all over the place that that mealtime is considered to be a particularly potent time. Now, the dinim of around mealtime archakos, and again, I don't know why the Shulchan Aruch arranged Simchot Tzadiyeh the way he did. I don't know why the Torah arranged it the way he did, but the dinim are a little bit scattered. So you have archakos that relate to sharing a table, sharing a plate, a heker, leftovers, serving, and yayin, right? You have archakos that relate to all of those things. So we're going to have to roam a little bit throughout the siman to find all of those things and to clarify. But let's start with eating together. By eating together, I mean same plate, same table, right? Meaning those two issues of same table, same plate. The Talmud Beis Eliyahu in Masechta Shabbos, which is one of the foundational gemaras of all of Dinei Harchakos, the Chida says the Talmud Beis Eliyahu is Eliyahu and Navi. Others say that no, it's just a Tana by the name of Eliyahu. It sounds from the story that it was Eliyahu and Navi, because it says that when she was wondering why her husband died, the Chatzi Yamav, Lo Haya Adam Achzira Davar, all the other Talmid Chachamim would not say anything. So it sounds like because you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to say that you know why a person died, unless you are a Navi. So Eliyahu Navi was willing to venture a guess, because he's a Navi, so he knew why the husband died. Okay, but anyway, so whether it's Eliyahu or Navi, like the Chida says, or whether it's some other Tana named Eliyahu, the woman said that her deceased husband was achalimi v'shasaimi. Right, when he said bimeli buna ma'uatzcha, when you were during your shivin akim, have he behaved toward you? So she said achalimi v'shasaimi. So how exactly does that play out? What does that mean that you're not allowed to do that he had done by being achal v'shasaima? So just to back up a step, the context of that gemara is a Mishnah in Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Lo yochal azav im azava mipnei hergel avera. That a zav and a zava shouldn't eat together because it could lead to avera. One is not allowed to sleep with the zav, one is not allowed to sleep with the zava, and therefore it could be problematic. So the context of the Mishnah are things that you can't do because it might lead to an iser. The Mishnah, right, that's why it's in Shabbos, because in the Masechta Shabbos we talk about a tailor walking outside close to Shabbos with a needle in his clothing. The tailors would always keep needles in their clothing because they need a sewing needle. So when it's right before Shabbos, he's walking out with a needle in his clothing and there's no Eruv, it's going to be a violation of carrying, or a scribe with this quill in his ear or something like that, walking out like that with whatever kelim he uses for his, or reading by Or Haner, Shemayata, all of these things. That's what it's doing in Masech HaShabbos. So the Gemara in Yud Gimel asks, why do we specifically highlight in the Mishnah Lo Yochal Hazav Im Hazava? Shouldn't it be Lo Yochal anybody Im Hazava? Meaning the point is, if a woman is a Zava, you're not allowed to have Tashmish with her, right? You're not allowed to have Korva with her. So why is it Lo Yochal Hazav Im Hazava? What do I care if I'm a Zava or not? Bottom line is, if she's a Zava, she's a Surah. So the Gemara says, yeah, but regular people, you don't need to be told shouldn't eat with a Zava, because if you're Tahar, you would never eat with a person who's Tamei anyway, because you don't want to risk the Tuma. So you only need to be told Lo Yochal Azavim Azava if you happen to be a Zav. Okay, fine, that's the background. Now let's get to what exactly this Isser includes of Achal Imi. Achal Imi, what does it mean, Achal Imi? So it seems that there are three Shittos in the Rishonim, and how we paskin seems very clear in Shulchan Aruch, not super duper clear in from the perspective of the Ramah and some of the Achronim. So let's see what the Rishonim say. The Rambam in Yisur Bia Perik Yud Aleph Halach Yud Ches Vasal Adam Shidbak Vishto B'Shivas Yemei Nikiyim V'Af Al Pi Shehi B'Ksusav B'Ksusav etc. V'Lo Yochal Ima, says the Rambam, B'Ka'ara Achas. Ka'ara Achas. Rambam makes no mention of Shulchan Echad. He says, just not let it eat out of the same plate. The Ravid adds that He says, we're knowing not even Shulchan Achas. But the Rambam didn't say that. Rambam says, Ka'ara Achas. Not let it eat out of the same plate. In Hilchos Tumas Ochlin, Perek Tazayin Alach Yir Aleph, says the Rambam, Hatamei v'hatar yachtov, Mipi HaShmuel Lamdu Shatamei v'hatar Ochlin b'Ka'ara Achas, אבל לא יוכל הבעל עם אשתו בקערה כשתהיה נידה. ולא אשתו עם אבל תאים זאת לא לסקוס, כמו שביאנו, ולא יוכל זאת ומזאת, נהרגל ואיר, זאת ולא. And again, the Ravid over there adds, אמר אברהם, אנו אמרו מאפילו על שולחן אחד, במפה אחס עושה. The Aruch HaShulchan assumes misvara, that the Rambam makes the most sense, that mika'ara achas should be the only issue, that there's nothing romantic about Shulchan Echad, only ka'ara achas is about. Now, the Ravid clearly disagrees. The Ravid keeps bringing up that the she'iltos and that we're no hig like the she'iltos, and that is also the sheet of the Ramban. The Ramban in Hilchos Nid, the Perches, Halach HaGimel, Yeser al Kain, lo yochal ima al Shulchan Echad. He doesn't deny that this is a b'kar achas, but that's obvious. It's lo yachal even b'shulchan echad. Ein lo el shulchan echad paresis map acheres yatsum shem heker. But if you only have one shulchan, sounds like it's a b'dieved. If you don't have two tables in your home, you only have one shulchan, so then you need to do a heker, because a heker is the only way it's going to solve it. So it sounds like kar achas is awesome, no matter what. Not even the Rambam agrees, everyone agrees kar achas. Comes on the Ramban and he says, Shulchan Echad is also Aser. If you don't have two Shulchanos, so a heker is a workaround on the Isser of Shulchan Echad. The third Shita, what might be an in-between Shita, is the Shita of the Rush. The Rush, not here, the Rush, meaning not in the Sechas Nida, because this is a Gemara in Shabbos, the Rush in the first Parak of Shabbos, in Simon Lamed Beis, writes, Umash Regilin Achshav, Lechol Mishto Nida B'Shulchan Echad. He says, wait a second, if the Ravid is right, if Rabbi Chaigon is right, what are we doing? How come people are always eating on the same table with their wives? He says, L'fi shevi yimehem It used to be that everyone would eat on these like small tray tables, you know, like those breakfast and bed tables kinds of thing, where it was a personal table that a person had. So to share a table that's made for one, and now to share it with two people, that is considered derechiba. Nowadays, where you know, from families have these 12-foot-long tables so that they can host you know, as much company as they can or whatever else, so they have large families with children, everyone sits around a big table. It's not derechiba. And some make a hecker also. But the point that the Rosh is making is that the real chiluk is that in Achinami there's an Isra of Shulchan Echad, but that Isra of Shulchan Echad is only in the old style Shulchanos. So the Ramban is right that there's an Isra of Shulchan Echad. What the Ramban is missing, says the Rosh, is that our Shulchanos are not subject to that Isra. So while in agreement with the Ramban, effectively paskuming like the Ramban. Meaning that nowadays, Shulchan Echad is not a problem at all. The Mi'iri makes that same chiluk. There are some achronim that say, oh, had the Beis Yosef had the Mi'iri, then the Beis Yosef would have paskin like the Rambam, that there's no Isra of Shulchan Echad. Which is, of course, ridiculous, because Beis Yosef did have the Rosh, and he still didn't paskin that way. So it's not about the Beis Yosef missing you know, this chiluk. Also, the Beis Yosef was well aware that they used to have very small tables. Already in the times of the Rishonim, they had moved away from the small tables, as you see, from the Rosh, the Meiri. They already point out that nowadays we have much larger tables. So it's not that Beis Yosef was missing information over here when he arrived at a Psak Halacha. So what was his Psak Halacha? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, Siv Gimel, Lo Yochal Ima Al HaShulchan. Without a hecker, without a shinoi, exactly like the Ramban, you need to have a shinoi. You need to, without a hecker, a shinoi. Rather, you need to have. You can't be sitting at the same table. Even Shulchan Echad is a problem against the Rambam and against the Rosh. Says the Ramah, V'yei Shomrim, Had the Tzrich Nefzit Ben Kar Shalom Kar Shalom, Hainu Davki Shein Nochon Bekar Achas Kshi Tahora. Av Nochon Bekar Achas Kshi Tahora, Sagi Mochaz Bekar Befnei Atzma, Vein Tzar Cheker Acher B'chein Nogin. That if you normally eat out of one plate when she is Tahora, then it's good enough to have separate plates, and you can eat on the same Shulchan, you don't have to worry about it. I mean, the whole idea that you're not allowed to eat out of the same Shulchan is only when... And that you're going to need a hecker to eat from the same shulchan is only when b'yamei tahara everyone eats from their own individual kara. So then you need to do something different. So you need a hecker on the table as well. But if b'yamei tahara everyone eats from the same kara, the husband and wife normally eat from the same kara. So eating from different karos is going to be good enough. Not abundantly clear how we're magdir that. Meaning, what does that mean? They normally eat from the same kara 3 meals a day. Like, is that? So Shrag Kalin said, like cornflakes, like in the morning they have one bowl of cornflakes, and each of them are eating it. Meaning, is that what that means, or it just means like when they're having dinner, is it a bowl of French fries? Like, what exactly were they eating mikarachas? Do you go basarov? Do you say if this food were being eaten during Yemei Tahara, we would normally share a plate? So now for us, we don't have to share a plate. Maybe, I don't know, right? You have to figure out exactly what that is. The thing is, this is not the only line that the Ramah tells us about this halacha. It's the only line that Ramah tells us here about this halacha. But if you look in Darkei Moshe, the Ramah writes that he saw what the minhag is in Oz Beis. Ubemedino se'elu, hua minhag b'kol mokom shri'isi, sho'ochelos imal shulchan echad avalo b'kar achas. Meaning, he says, Medino se'elu, we don't paskin like the Ramban, you paskin like the Rambam. Medina Se'elu, everyone always eats on the same shulchan, no hecker required. That's what the Darkei Moshe writes. So it's a little bit difficult to understand what that means exactly. First of all, he says, Re'isi, like I've seen, who do you see? Had you walk into someone's house, you're going to know if they have a hecker on their table? You don't know what's normally on their table. You don't know what their secret hecker is. You know, they have to know between them what the hecker is. What exactly? You know she's a Nida? You know? Okay, maybe they knew she was a Nida because maybe they weren't shy about that, you know? But still, it's a little difficult to understand what exactly he means by that. Sidrei Tara suggests that what he means by that is what he writes over here in the Ramah, which is that in Poland, they used to always eat from Ka'ara Achas. So since they always ate from Ka'ara Achas, so he says, b'medino zeilu, where normally b'imei tahara, you eat from Ka'ara Achas, so b'imei nida, you don't need to eat from Ka'ara, you don't need to eat, you don't need to have a hacker, just eating from Shnei Ka'aros is going to be good enough, shulchan echad is fine. But if you were in a place where people normally eat from Shnei Ka'aros, then you can't have shulchan echad, which would mean that the Ramah is telling us, even in Darkei Moshe, the Ramah is telling us, that for us, we normally each get our own plate to eat from. You may take a bite off of your wife's plate or shoe off of yours every now and then, but you get your own place setting normally when you eat. So for us, we're still going to need a hacker for Shulchan Echad, meaning that we're also going to pass on like the Ramban. Not what it sounds like in Dark Emotion. Yeah.
Isn't the Rush also in that camp that you need a hacker, or at least should use a hacker?
The Rush. After he says that the whole idea of Shulchan Echad was only b'yemehem, he says v'yesh sha'osin hacker b'neihem. So I don't know, how do you understand that? Is that in addition, some put a hacker b'neihem, but mikra din, not really necessary to put a hacker b'neihem. That's why I read it, but I could be wrong. Good, so that's as far as same table is concerned. So it sounds like same table, you can need a hacker, we're going to have to define what a hacker is soon, Bez Hashem. Eating from the same plate first. So the Taz over here in Sifkat and Beis quotes the Bach that he says, "Hatiku b'prisha morichamiza lashon zeh od reisi shtos gadol." Says I saw this horrible stupidity. Sheminatchen chatichos ketanos bekara achas, that people just put like sushi on a sushi platter, right? Small pieces of something. Who no telachas, vihi no telasachas, ad gemar achila. And they keep, just munching out of the, everyone takes a French fry out of the French fry thing until they finish the fries. Vishivush gadalu, the pshita the choshev achila yachad. That's terrible. That's eating mikarachas mamish. You can't do that. Vuga mi sefer ashal, avu mikol makom mashma, dik shemesimin ka'ara ima chatichos gedolus, gederk shemesimin pekadeva. That's a lot of words to say when you have a serving dish, right? And everyone takes from the serving dish and just puts on their own personal plate. That's okay. For everyone to just be munching sushi off of the sushi platter, for the husband and wife to both be munching sushi off of the sushi platter, that's a problem. But to each of them have their own plate, that's okay. Keep it not, and even though they're taking from the serving dish, keep it not achila miyad velikichasim yukar shalok gamhi el mishtamish bekli acher benatayim ken yirlan yisdaiti. As long as you have another kli benatayim. So it's a fascinating discussion Rav Osner has. Rav Osner died before, he lived in that very dark time before there were dips on every Shabbos table. So he didn't get to experience dips. So Shaila is, nowadays the way we take dips most often, I think, is you just put it on your own plate anyway and eat it off your own plate. But let's say you're actually using it as a dip. You're just dipping in the dip, right? So can you dip, can a husband and wife dip their challah, let's say, in the same dip? They're having a Shabbos suda together. They take out the little plastic container, whatever, and they want a dip. Are they allowed? So Rav Osner doesn't discuss that directly, but he discusses is the following. He points out there's a machlokas achronim, whether the heter over here is that it goes onto your private plate before you eat it, meaning so you're not eating from the serving plate, you're eating from your own plate, or maybe no. Maybe it's just based on the fact that there's a hefsik bein, the netila and the achila, the lekicha and the achila, that there's just a break in between one and the other. And he says nafkamina would be if you take cream cheese or margarine out of a container and then smear it on your bread, your bagel, whatever, and then you eat it. So it never went on your plate. You have your bread in your hand, the knife is in the cream cheese, you take the cream cheese, the knife, you spread it on your bread or your matzah, whatever, and then you eat the food right away. You don't put it down on the plate. So is that going to be mutter? Says there's enough kamina between these 2 days and achronim. Do you need hefsek kara dafka? Is that what the taz really means? Or is it not about hefsek kara? It's just about a hefsek something that it's just not going. You're just not eating it straight off of the serving plate. Fine, that has nothing to do with dips. But then in that context, Rav Azra then mentions ubikra david tzarachinim divrei miricha nechshav ka'ochle mikara achas. I don't think you can call margarine or cream cheese eating from kara achas anyway. The bepashto say nechshav sha'ochle mosam rakhem machshirim es ha'ochle achila acharkach. He says something that's not the primary food and would never be eaten on its own anyway is not going to be called an achila mikara achas, because you're not eating from it, you're just using it to eat what you want to actually eat. So the dip, although one could argue that the dips, you're only having that second piece of challah because there are all these geshmaka dips that so that the challah is a yitimtza for the dip. But he assumes not that way, that the ikar is really the challah. So that might be a nice kula for the dips, or margarine or cream cheese or whatever else you may want to share. Now, Ramosha has a unique chumr over here. Ramosha in Yerodea, Chelek Aleph Siman Sadi Aleph and Sadi Beis, understands that the Taz is distinguishing between a portion meant for one person, sharing food, which is Aser, and a plate that's meant to serve many people. So according to Ramosha, even if you have a Hefzika or a Benatayim, but if it's a portion that's meant for one person, you're not supposed to share it. I mean, Ramosha is a significant chumrah. He says, let's say, we're not so hungry, we already had an appetite, sometimes you go to a restaurant, you're like, well, why should we spring on two mains? You can just get two appetizers, and then we could share a main or whatever, right? You know how this goes, right? So, but the main is meant for one person. So you'll just say, oh, bring me an extra plate, right? And the waiter will secretly roll his eyes and, we'll bring the extra, right? So what will you do? You'll take off of that plate, put it on your plate, and you'll eat it straight from your plate. You're not going to eat it straight. But most of us, that's a problem also, because it's a single serving. Even if you put it on a separate plate, then there's a separate issur of eating from the same plate, even if it's meant to serve many people. Meaning, the way he reads the Taz is, the Taz talks about a serving plate that's meant to serve many people, right? And the Taz says, and that you're not allowed to eat directly off of the plate. And therefore, if it was not a serving plate that was meant to serve many people, you wouldn't even be allowed to put it on your own plate and eat it. That's a significant chum. I don't know what the raya, I don't know that that's a significant chum. It would seem that l'chora, a couple should not be able to share a bowl of popcorn or a dish, an order of fries or things like that. Again, if you're not machmir like Ramosha, you could order the fries, get to take half of the fries, put them on your plate. Your wife will take half of the fries, put it on her plate, and then you eat it straight off of your own personal plate, and that's perfectly fine according to the simple reading of the Taz. If you're not machmir like Ramosha. But what about if you just want to munch out of the thing of fries, or you make a microwave popcorn, so you're both eating out of the popcorn bag? So it would seem that that's definitely problematic. However, Rabbi Forst writes, they certainly may not eat together from one bag of pretzels or popcorn, right? Meaning vadai. Rabbi Simon quotes Rabbi Abadi that it's mutter. Where he says that since the entire din is about chiba, and these are things that any two people would share, meaning you make a bag of microwave popcorn, you never make a bag of microwave popcorn just for yourself. I mean, it's like the big bags, Like it's always meant to be shared. It's meant to be shared. So that's not called okay. We're not all we don't all have to nourish all 6 foot 8 of us. But the bag of popcorn Rabbi Abadi thinks is not an affectionate thing. Getting to Zach Israeli's, what's it called? They have like these kapara. What do they put in there? So getting to the candy dish. It seems that this is a machlokas achron. Badei shulchan sivkot nun vav is machmir, and the chutshani is mekel. So I don't know. I would think that you could be mekel or something like that. I mean, it's clearly meant for many, many people. You're not eating out of the same compartment. The compartments are meant dafka, so that you're jelly beans don't chas v'shalom get mixed in your peach hearts, you know, like you don't want the peach heart sugars on your, you know, on your jelly. You understand? So the sour is meet with the sweet. It's a total mess. So it's meant to be divided. It's meant to be ki'ilu. It's different plates, and you could always have in the back of your mind Rabbi Abadi's shita is a snifla hakel. Okay. Since Rabbi Sobolsky didn't want to answer, I figured I'll give you. Unless we could ask Rabbi Willigan, he's machmir, then Buffalo Daiti, of course.
What about taking from a bag of popcorn, putting it
into
your other hand,
and then your other hand. So that would be telling totally Rav Vazner's chakira, right? Is it about a plate or is it about a hefsek? But on the other hand is probably not enough of a hefsek, even according to Rav Vazner. Rav Moshe does write in Yerodei Chelek Aleph inside the Aleph that if one of them finishes eating from the plate before the next one begins, then it's mutter, then it's not called sharing from the same plate, because you at no point were you sharing the plate. The plate transferred possession. It started as the wife's plate. She took her several bites. She said, "I'm finished," and then it became the husband's plate. Also, it's an interesting kula. So Rav Moshe has an interesting chumra over here and an interesting kula. Yeah. What?
Leftovers.
Okay. So if you could avoid shiurei me'achala somehow, we'll get to that. Okay. Meaning you still have to contend with shiurei me'achala in a chidah. Now, getting back to eating from the same table. So we said you're allowed to eat from the same table, but only if you have a hecker. Did we say shiurei me'achala at 12, or do I have another few minutes? Can we do? Just give me a few more minutes just to get to hecker. Yeah, and then we'll do leftovers on Sunday. So eating from the same table. So the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel says you're not supposed to eat from the same table. Elim ken yeshum shinui to have something mafsik bein karo shalo le karo shalo. Lechem o kankan o shiol kolecha be mafet shalo. So the Ravid in Balei HaNefesh Shara Prisha Aleph Beis quotes from the She'iltos that a separate tablecloth makes it okay to eat from the same table. And Rav Vazner writes that even if you have like a charger under your plate, meaning you know what that is, right? Like those gigantic plates that aren't really plates, so don't put food on them. They're just meant to be fancy, right? So or Rav Vazner says if you have another plate, an additional plate under your plate, so if that's not the way you normally eat, that would be okay as well. Shach and Sifchat and Vav says that if you just pull off part of the tablecloth and one of them puts their plate directly on the table and not on the tablecloth, that's good enough. And Rav Vazner writes that sitting at two ends of a large table will also count as a shinoi. Meaning, let's say you have this long table, and normally you sit next to each other, but now you decide to sit at opposite ends of the table, that's also a shinoi. Now, to qualify as a hacker, the Shulchan Aruch says you need shum shinoi, which sounds like pretty much anything would work, and he gives examples, lechem or kankan, but shum shinoi, right? However, the Shach, I think, points you to Yerodeya Simen Peches, right? Doesn't he? Did I get that right? I seem to recall that you got to look in the Hilchos Basar V'Chalav, where in Hilchos Basar V'Chalav it's clear that it's a davar hanikur v'gavoa k'tzas k'kankan or lechem or menorah. And Rav Vazner writes, you know, how seriously do we take that comparison to Basar V'Chalav? Is it mamish the same rules as Hekar by Basar V'Chalav? So Rav Vazner writes, Be'emes after mistaver lidmos achem minuk ha'olam laniach afilu taba'as v'chadome. He says, minuk ha'olam is always that a woman takes off a ring and they use that as a Hekar. For Basar V'Chalav, that's not good enough, because it's not gavoa k'tzas when it comes to Basar V'Chalav. U'machshivim l'hekarim u'dover nikol l'shem, as long as it's something they both recognize. Right, even though the Shach says dumi d'simin peiches, kol gam shi'a dover gavoa k'tzas, ach nir d'stim sachronim shalos kiruke na'edya, gam kan, mash v'tisagi, gam b'shar ha'ekar, im einu rogil lios munach sham. So, Rav Vazner gives you a kula, you grab it, you hold it tight, right? Meaning, Rav Vazner is giving us a tremendous kula. Shach is mashma, it's got to be exactly like Basar V'Chalav. Says Rav Vazner, nah, minagayilim is always that you just was that you just put a ring down on the table. That was always the minagayilim. Wow. Okay. The reason to be more machmir by Basar V'Chalav, meaning you need svarif from machalik, right? So the reason to be more machmir by Basar V'Chalav is that if you're trying to prevent eating from each other's plates, So basar b'chalav, what happens if you do? Right? Meaning if you actually do eat from her plate when she's eating milk and you're eating flesh, you just violate basar b'chalav. Whereas by nida, what happens if you do? What happens if you eat from her ka'ara? Nothing. Meaning the whole point of not eating from the same ka'ara is just so that you shouldn't come too. So you know, these little mistakes are little mistakes. They're not as significant. That's l'chora the reason that it should work. So any hacker that's going to work for basar b'chalav, meaning a hacker that's going to work for basar b'chalav for sure works for nida. So if you happen to actually be eating basar and she chalav and she's a nida, whatever hacker you have there for basar b'chalav is for sure good enough for nida as well. Sidri Tara adds that even if she just changes her seat, that's considered a hacker. Even something normal to have on a table, but placed in an unusual spot, like moving a vase of flowers from the center of the table to between your seats, would also qualify as hacker. It doesn't have to be something so unusual on the table, but it's unusual for it to be there. Like, why is it in the corner of the table all of a sudden?
Both Nida and Basar B'chalav are just Nida.
Both. Yeah.
It's also in the writing himself in Bala Yafesh, when he talks about the comparison between Basar B'chalav and Shina and Mita, he says the same thing there. He said, with Basar B'chalav, it causes an issue with the plate. But I think it's talking about like the difference between different bed things. It comes up in that context. But he says, well, what happens with certain HaKakot? If you break them, nothing actually happens. The real Isser is sleeping in the same bed together, not in, let's say, some other HaKakot. You mentioned something like that.
Meaning that this cheshbin of like, are you in fact violating an Isser, or are you doing something that might lead to an Isser, is a valid cheshbon, yeah? That's
he says it's not about Dine Achila, it's about Dine Shina, the comparison between Basar.
Right.
But listen to the Gemara also.
Okay. Now, the Badei HaShulchan and the Bi'urin, in Dibur HaMaskel Kolech of Mapashla, wonders if it's enough to have some of his food on a separate mappa, even though the rest of his food is on the same mappa. Meaning, for a hacker, do you just need like some of your food to be the hacker? And he proves that it works because there was no hacker about drinks. They would always drink from separate cups. So you drink from a separate cup when she's in nida also. And there's no hacker in terms of the drinks. Meaning, if you're using a hefsek mappa, the assumption is not that the drink is on the mappa or is on your separate mappa also. It's just that your car is on your separate mappa. So he says, if there's no hacker relating to the drinks, apparently having a hacker about the food is going to work for the drinks also. So apparently just having some partial hacker is going to be good enough. On the flip side, Rabbi Kallis pointed out, what if your table is like a total balagan? Like, I don't know, everyone comes from, like, everyone's house operates differently. So some homes you walk into and everything is mesudar, tamid, you know? It's like, tamid, it's midim kesidra, everything is exactly where it belongs. Some houses are like, oh my God, was this place just robbed? You know, like a total balagan. Like, the whole table's like full of whatever. So, like, you know, particularly, you know, the community that Rabbi Kallis is talking to, I know my sister lives in Ramat Eshkol in a wonderful 2.5 bedroom apartment with her 12 children. So, like, their kitchen table, like, it's also everything else, right? It's also the baby's changing table. You know, it's like, I don't know about that. But it's also everything else. So it's like a total balagan. So, like, what do you have there that's a hacker? You know, like what could you possibly have on that table that's a hacker? So he points out, l'chor, you can't have a hacker. Rabbi Sablowski said that when he was in the dorms, he got married a little bit later. So he and Rabbi Rapp were roommates, I think. So he always talks about what there must have been a lot of fun. He said, Rabbi Rapp was in Columbia Law School and Weissnicha, and he never liked to read his law books. Rabbi Sablowski would enjoy reading Rabbi Rapp's law books. He said, like, the table was like, you could have anything. Like, is deodorant a hacker? There's always deodorant on the table that they would eat on. You know, so he said that they discussed this once when it comes to Basar B'chalav, you know, if one of them was eating a little bit, and they decided that the best hacker would be if they cleaned the table. that was gonna be the hacker. Okay, I don't know if that was a joke or not, but so something to think about. The Ritva in Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel says that if there are other people at the table, that would be mutter without a hacker. And Rabbi Sablowski assumes, what does it mean, other people? It means other people that are old enough to save you from an Isser Yichud. You could argue that over here the concern isn't that you'll be doing anything with each other, just that it's going to create a sense of kurva. So it could be that you don't even need someone who's at the age of, you know, how old is old enough to say from this yichud? Someone, if they were old enough, if they saw something, they would say something, right? If they saw like, whoa, that's an unusual behavior. I'm not used to seeing outside of television, right? So then they would say something, right? So, but if a child is younger than that, then doesn't say from this yichud, it's not going to save you from the need for a hacker either. That's what Rabbi Sablovsky suggested. L'chora, one could argue that even a younger child could save you from the need for a hacker, because it's not about the same thing. It's not about the child seeing something. The concern is not that at the dinner table something is going to happen. It's just that it creates a sense of korva, and it sort of kills the vibe a little bit when there's a three-year-old at the table also, even though the three-year-old may not save you from an isur yichud. It's interesting, the Ra'am mentions this hatter, but he says the third person has to be sitting in between them. Rav Vazner assumes that even a baby would work, according to that shita, and it seems to depend on the reason for the isur. Meaning, if it's due to the inherent intimacy of eating together, then a third person helps, even if the person is not in between you. But if it's due to a concern that you're going to eat from the same plate, and that's why you need the other person will remind you not to eat from each other's plate, so then you need the other person in between you, so you don't eat from each other's plate. The Rashba holds you need a hacker regardless, clearly because he assumes the concern is that you might eat from the same plate, and having other people around doesn't prevent you from eating from the same plate, so you're going to need that hacker to prevent you from eating from the same plate. So Rabbi Forrest thinks we should be machmir like this Rashba, unless it's a situation of some sort of embarrassment or something like that. And then just the last thing for today. The Shach, I mean, you got to take a look at the Pesachei Tshuva also. Pesachei Tshuva in Sivkat Nehei, but we'll skip that for now. The Shach in Sivkat Zayin says that the other people that save you from the need for the hacker have to be at the table. But having people around while the husband and wife eat from a small table would still require a hacker. And that's very common where? If you go out to a restaurant. So you get a table for two, you're surrounded by 100 other people, but you're sitting at a table for two. So the Shach and Sivkat Zayin says you still need a hacker. Rav Vazner points out that it seems that the reason for the Isur Lechad, the Shulchan Echad, is not on account that they'll come to eat from the same plate, like by Basar B'Chalav, but just that sitting together by one table is Maisa Chiba, like B'Mezika Sakos. That might mean that a hacker shouldn't work, because unlike Shinui B'Mezika Sakos, where it's an abnormal way of serving, putting a hacker on the table won't stop that sense of Chiba. But we paskin that, of course, it does work, that the hacker does work. So Sidrei Tara explains Machlokas Rishonim, meaning he explains Machlokas Ra'ah and the Rashba based on this. The Ra'ah says that you only need a hacker when you're alone, and the Rashba says that even, like we said before, even having other people there, you still need a hacker. The Sidrei Tara points out that the Ra'ah must be assuming that sitting alone is inherently intimate, and once you're not alone, it's no longer intimate. Whereas the Rashba's just concerned you're going to come to eat from each other's plate. So having other people there is not going to help. Shulchan Aruch only mentions Hecker and seems to assume like the Shittas HaRashba, in terms of the need for a Hecker. But bottom line is, we are Mekel when there are other people there, probably because it's the intimacy is the primary concern. Therefore, you could argue how old the other person has to be, but we tend to be mekel when there are other people there, certainly when there are other people there at the table. Okay, on Sunday we'll pick up with leftovers, and hopefully we'll finish the dining room.